Pharisee strides into the temple. He comes three times a day. They know him well. He finds a nice, clear space where people can get a good view of him and begins to pray. Here I am, God, your favorite person. Thank you that I am so good. I starve on Monday and Thursday. I give away a tenth of all my goods. I'm fair, I'm honest, I'm moral. Thank you that I am not a Gentile, or a Samaritan, or a leper, or a woman. Thank you that I'm not like that nasty little tax man over there. Tax man sneaks into the temple. Heads turn. What's he doing here? He's out of place. And he knows it. He's as welcome as a skinhead in a 5-star hotel. But he wants to pray. He must pray. He finds a dark corner of the back. He stands staring at the floor. He strikes his fists against his chest again and again. Oh God, I'm sorry. Oh God, I'm ashamed. Oh God, I'm the worst man on earth. Have pity. Pharisee strides out of the temple. He'll be back shortly for another talk with himself. Taxman sneaks out of the temple. He may never come back, but God goes with him. They are the words of Andrew Knowles, an Anglican clergyman, and also a writer, which I found almost a sermon in themselves, and I was tempted to stop at this point. But then I have to compete with Jack, sorry. No. This parable, which I've just read, which you just had that paraphrase of, is unique to Luke's Gospel. It's found nowhere else. It's set in first century Jerusalem. Notice the two of them go to the temple to pray. But it still resonates, I believe, nearly 2,000 years later. I famously said the last time I was preaching here on the 2nd of October, before we're going on leave, a saying that I got from David Brown, my colleague, the chaplain in Warsaw, that a sermon should be about God and about 10 minutes. Well, I'm going to try and preach about God, because I think this passage tells us three important things about him. And because I'm being recorded, David Helen will tell me exactly whether I've been 10 minutes or a bit longer. Firstly, something about our understanding of God and his character. With these two individuals, the Pharisee and the tax collector, you have two very different understandings of God. The Pharisee has no idea of being dependent upon God. It's all about what he is, and God needs to know about it, of course, and also be impressed. He acknowledges God's existence, but, as the introduction to the parable says, he trusted in himself. Jesus told the story about some who trusted in themselves. The tax collector, of course, is very different, has a very different understanding of God. He believes in a merciful God, but in turn that he is in great need of God's mercy. He doesn't think highly of himself. He's well aware of what he actually is, what he's like, and realizes he doesn't need to tell God anything about that, or to hide from him. Two very different understandings of who God is. Ask the question of you. What is my understanding of who God is? Do we live daily independence on him? Or do we live daily independence mainly on ourselves? Do we seek his mercy? Or do we believe we have no real need of it? The two people in the story, the Pharisee and the tax collector, and their understanding of God. Secondly, I believe the passage has something to teach us about how we are made right with God. The Pharisee believed in what we usually refer to or call salvation by works, earning his salvation. He thinks that God has set some sort of barrier at a certain height, you know the idea, and he needs to jump over it to be accepted, all by his own effort. Notice he claims that he fasts twice a week, which was much, much more than ever was required by the Jewish law in the Old Testament, and therefore it made him be able to jump over the barrier, so to speak. The tax collector, of course, a collaborator with the occupying power, taking more than he should, etc., etc., I'm sure you know, recognises that he is, to use a very churchy word, that he is a sinner, that he cannot make himself right with God. He needs God's mercy and forgiveness. What really resonates with me as I reread this parable is what the Pharisee has to say about himself, what he compares himself to. But he does compare. He's not like the thieves, the rogues, the adulterers, or the tax collector. It has echoes of what I've heard and sometimes read many times over in my ministry. When challenged about people about their need to respond to God, they can always find somebody who is worse than they are. And therefore, that makes you know, I'm better than, or at least no worse than my neighbours. Of course, in recent years, certainly in Britain, the people you can always say that are worse than me are paedophiles. You know, I'm not like those paedophiles. Sadly, these days in Britain, it's also not like these migrants, which is something that I find very upsetting, personally. But it doesn't matter where we put ourselves in the pecking order, that we're better than so-and-so. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, as St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans. Only when, like the tax collector, we recognise our own failures and call upon the mercy of God, are we made right with him. The tax collector, we are told, went down to his home justified, as one commentator says, bit of Pauline theology in the middle of Luke's Gospel. Yes, we are made right with God, not by our own efforts, not by the Gospel of works, but through what Christ himself has done for us, which we shall remember and celebrate in bread and wine this morning. My third and final thing about God from this parable is he obviously has something to say to us how we should pray to God, because that's what both these characters in their own way came to do. We are certainly, of course, given an example by the Pharisee of how not to pray. How are we to pray? To have a right spirit within us, one that recognises who God is and what he has done. And whilst this may be well known to some of you, was first talked to me many decades ago, I just felt it was appropriate when talking about praying to God to mention a simple acronym which I know many, many people find helpful. When we come to pray, think of ACTS, A-C-T-S. A begins, is A for adoration. When you come to pray, praise God for who he is, just as we did this morning, praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Start with adoration. Then C, of course, stands for confession, just as the tax collector did, as we have done earlier in this service in our prayer of confession. Then move the T to thanksgiving, not for how good we are, but for what God has done for us ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, as we also sang. Only then move to the S, which is supplication, bringing our needs and the needs of others before God. Yes, how we should pray, or as this parable partly teaches us, how we should not pray. Three things about God. So in conclusion, as we come to God's house to worship this morning, let us recognise who God is and recognise our dependence upon him. Recognise that we cannot earn our own salvation, be made right or justified, but rather, as I just said, we've been ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven by God for the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. And when coming to pray, as we will do very shortly after we've said the creed, let us come in the right spirit, one of adoration, of confession, and thanksgiving. And then let us make our request before him. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.